Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Thanks for dialing up Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan. We're on FM, mostly, AM-ish, but we're on that app, and that app is indestructible. Tell you more about that app coming up. What a tease. Tease the app. It's the first time in radio history that's happened. Chuck and Chernoff with you till 6, the Front Row's audio fun bag to follow with Dylan Short. Carlos in for the King. Charles enjoying a beach vacation. Well-deserved. He's worked several days to start the new year, so we wish him the best. The 4 o'clock hour of the show presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows.
Let's talk about Entry Point Doors and Windows.
I just did. Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows.
You can go by the expanded showroom or go online. Go to entrypointatlanta.com.
They're Atlanta's... This is a tag team read?
EntryPointAtlanta.com.
Atlanta's best for a reason. He's right. Go to EntryPointAtlanta.com for a free estimate.
You don't even have to do the read at this point.
I mean, how about that? It's almost like none of us have to be here except Hoyt. You'll just...
It's the way he wants it.
It's ultimately. Right. It's world takeover for him, top to bottom. So Lowson for the King means he's on college football today duty. A CFT is about 5 minutes away. What can we look forward to?
A mature discussion about a single word for Georgia football and those that cover Georgia football.
All right, we'll get to that maturity coming up. But first, the 49ers get ready to play in the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia this weekend. And we always talk about the NFL being a copycat league. Can the Falcons copy the 49ers' success?
My first answer to this is it's extremely difficult, in part because when you look how the 49ers are put together, and I love when we do this, Matt, we typically always do it when we get the Super Bowl teams out there.
Yep.
We start saying, what did this team do versus that team? Like the Rams of yesteryear were, wow, you traded all of your top 3-4 round picks and got players.
The draft doesn't matter. That was everybody's. Yes, it doesn't matter. The draft, kick the draft out. You don't need it.
And then before you know it, you're a 5-win team, and that's just kind of what happens.
They're broken and old.
Exactly. It's just kind of the nature of what happens. What I want you to understand is this. It's not that the 49ers drafted good players. That's fine. That's part of it. Every good team drafts good players, okay? It's the fact that the 49ers drafted elite players in weird places in the draft. For instance, I know we talk about George Kittle, probably the best two-way tight end in all of football. Travis Kelce is an outstanding receiving tight end. There's a lot of great ones out there, but George Kittle does the nasty stuff too.
He's a fifth-round pick, right?
That's a fifth-round pick. Fred Warner is probably the best inside linebacker in football. I had the comparison where somebody asked me, would you rather want Micah Parsons or Fred Warner? And I said, listen, I want Micah because of what he does to the quarterback, but Warner, for his way he plays, affects the entirety of the middle of the field. It's just a different kind of weapon. That's a third-round pick. Deebo Samuel was the third wide receiver taken in the 2019 draft. You brought up Juwan Jennings. That's a seventh-rounder that they try to figure out how to get the ball to. And so I think, by the way, their quarterback is Mr. Irrelevant. It's a final pick of the draft.
Right.
You're talking about building on an anomaly where it's nice when it happens, and you need to find that starting middle linebacker in the second round, and you want to find that the Foye Oluokuns of the world that end up leading the league in tackles. But that is where the goal can't be the 49ers, because the 49ers is something freaky. Your goal is to just draft really solid players, starters throughout.
I would agree. There's kind of a double-edged sword in this one that, like, I think as fans we forget, half the league is fourth to seventh round picks and undrafted free agents. It's just how you're going to have to construct rosters when it's a jigsaw puzzle, and that's what the salary cap is. You're going to have to fill a good portion of your cap with cheap, in this case, back end drafted players or undrafted players. And when you hit the jackpot on George Kittle, or like the Falcons did with Grady Jarrett, or like any of these, Brock Purdy's is hilarious. Like the fact that this has worked in such a way that it has. Well, that's hitting the jackpot. Because while we do, Los, is focus on the first round and to some degree the second round. Your teams, go look at these teams. Go look at the Eagles. So start doing a deep dive on their roster. I told you, the Chiefs starting running back, Isaiah Pacheco, was a seventh rounder. These teams that are able to find those and plenty of those, think back to the 2016 Falcons. We fell all over ourselves with the fact that the Falcons got an undrafted free agent that was their starting nickel corner in Brian Poole. And they found Devondre Campbell in the fourth round. Then the year before, it was Grady in the fifth round. Then the year before that, it was Devontae in the fourth round. That's largely how you're going to have to find answers. The first round's a given, but first round picks end up being 50-50 propositions anyway.
And I like that you bring up cornerback and what happened here with Brian Poole. So obviously the team that I watch and see what they do is the Dallas Cowboys. And one of the things that they have done now for years, I think it's really smart. They wait until about the fourth or fifth round and they say, let's find a corner that we think can play the slot. And we're only going to ask that person to play the slot. Now, that ended up being Jerron Bland this year, and he ended up getting four interceptions and played really well. But when you go through their history of where they've gotten those players, it's always, we'll go find this guy in the sixth round. We'll go, Anthony Brown will be a sixth rounder. He's going to be our slot corner. And I think that's kind of the mentality of what you want. The 49ers are looking for a specific player in a specific part of the draft. And I think going forward, we don't really know what that is with the Falcons yet, because we've only had two drafts to really kind of see what they do. I want to see what it looks like moving forward.
Well, then that's the thing, right? Like, so if I'm looking for the positives in this, in two drafts is not a sample size, or two off seasons is not a sample size to determine what this group is going to do. But they have done a good job without much in the way of resources of filling the roster. The fact that they've won 14 games in 2 years with this, like, it's not something to be ignored. It's not the goal to go 7-10, but it is also worthy of context to say they were playing with 65% of a roster because they had so much dead cap money. So when they find Tyler Allgeier in the fifth round, Los, that's one of those home runs.
That's a homer.
That we talk about. Now, the other side of that coin is, what is Richie Grant, who was a second round pick, and what was Jalen Mayfield as a third round pick? And you start going up and down that. It's a very mixed bag of that stuff. But it also plays into the first point we just discussed. You better hit on a fifth somewhere. Now, I don't know if he'll turn into George Kittle. That's hoping for something that's pretty extreme. But you better get some value in some of these picks, because they're going to fill out most of your roster when you go big in free agency like the Falcons are about to do.
I don't even mind when it's Avery Williams and you decide, right, let's run him as a running. And again, you're getting running back production out of a fifth rounder. That's good. You have 13 receptions out of a fifth rounder. That is good stuff there. And so, to me, I think that's what's going to ultimately have this thing moving forward, because you're going to have the cap space. You're going to have a ton of cap
space. That's going to go very quickly.
People
realize whether that's we re-sign Chris Lindstrom or we give AJ money and then there's two defensive linemen we go get and you know, a linebacker, whatever it is. You're going to look up and be like, oh, we're almost, quote, out of money again, and we've, you know, addressed three or four things. This thing will be fixed and fixed properly if it's combined with stuff that you find in round three and in round five. And your backups now become Lorenzo Carter. And your backups now become Cordarrelle Patterson. And your backups now become whatever free agent, you know, corner or safety you go get for pennies. That's how this is going to be built with the depth that they need to make this thing work long term.
I'm looking forward to it. Again, this offseason is, because they haven't had any cap space and it's been a limited amount of resources, this is going to be the most fun Falcons offseason we've probably had in probably 4 or 5 years.
And as a Falcon fan, this has nothing to do with this group. I bet the last time we were probably this gung-ho on the idea that they were going to spend money, Los, was the Tyson Jackson, Paul Solei offseason.
Yeah, probably
so. They had a ton of funds and they were going to go get big guys who were going to be able to change the line of scrimmage. We just cross our fingers and toes that it doesn't look like that this time around. If you want to stay connected to all the latest news, I told you I was teasing the app. What a tease. I'm paying it off. Your favorite fan shows, all of it's available on the Fan app, driven by Beaver Direct.
That app is like the herp. You just take it everywhere you go.
Don't know that Beaver Direct wants to be... never mind. Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com to see what
wow
really means. Download that Fan app now in the iTunes and Google Play Store.
Office back.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta, because money matters.
Good to be the king.
Think about how much money that Rhonda Duffy and Duffy Realty of Atlanta have saved people in this town over the years, with 42,000 homes sold. Okay, do the math on that. Now, Chuck Oliver will tell you about the three homes that Rhonda sold for him, saving him thousands. I can tell you about the thousands that they saved my in-laws. I can tell you about working with them on the buyer side, getting that 1.5% back, saving thousands of dollars on that transaction. For buying, selling needs, again, inventory is low. Jump on the market if you're looking to move. Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Check them out from there. So I've got a word, and I would like to tell Georgia fans, I need you in your corner, okay? And those that cover the University of Georgia, I need you in your corner. And I just want to have one mature conversation about this. The word is causality. Okay? If you're not aware of what this word is, causality is basically the principle that everything has a cause.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I would say that there is no causality between Emmitt Smith carrying the football and the Cowboys winning.
Can you give me the origin?
This would be from the United States. Now, let me point this out, the reason why. Because when I was growing up, they always had the stat of, you know, if Emmitt Smith carries the ball 20 times in a game, the Cowboys are undefeated. And I would go, well, why not give him the ball the first 20 times, right? That's the causality. Well, there's not always a cause and effect. Just because you do something doesn't mean this is going to happen. And I think the problem that we had over the weekend, and Georgia's been dealing with a whole lot, but the fact that you had the local paper talking about where the players were that were involved in the tragic crash that ended up killing Devin Willock and also Chandler LaCroix, pointing out that they were at a strip club. Now, a portion of fandom went, that's not fair, that's not the cause. And I would say, yes, you know what? I've been to a lot of strip clubs with Matt. Matt used to be the strip club king.
What?
We never ran off the road, never had an incident. That never happened. At the same time, those that have to tell the complete story have to tell that portion of the story. And so you had these warring factions over the last 48 hours. You shouldn't be saying about that. And then beats of people saying, well, but it's part of the story and we got to tell it. Ultimately, we're going to find out more about this story and everything that happened. And it's tragic 100% around. But what I'm telling you is, if you're telling the whole story, just understand, going to a strip club doesn't mean that this is going to happen, but it also can't be shrugged off as a reason for why it happened.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, brought to you by Duffy Realty of Atlanta on the College Football Voice of the South, 680 The Fan.
Lois, you were telling me before the show that you're very excited to see 64-year-old Madonna when she comes to town as part of her world tour. She'll be coming to State Farm Arena. And I know the other side of that coin is your bum that we found out that the Madonna biopic is not going to see itself to fruition.
Hollywood. Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. The Hollywood Reporter said the Madonna biopic, or as Hoyt would call it, biopic, was scheduled to be directed by Madonna. It's no longer in development at Universal Pictures, this after Madonna announced her massive world tour. Now, the development was always going to be a struggle for the movie, according to those behind the scenes, claiming 40 years of success is very hard to put into one movie. Now, that's tough. That's really difficult that in 2 hours, maybe she wanted like a Michael Jordan, like, you know, 10-part series to kind of, you know, diagnose her career from beginning to end. Is there enough interest there for people to tune into the Madonna movie?
I think if you want to just tell the story of maybe like 88 to 95, you know, where she was on a regular basis, the head of controversy. Like, you remember, Pepsi had to pull all their advertising because she did the Like a Prayer video with the burning crosses.
Correct. She also had one of her videos that couldn't air on MTV until after a certain time, which was genius because they made it this sort of, oh, you can't watch it, you want to tune in. And as a kid, you'd be like, oh, my parents aren't watching, I can see the Madonna video, which wasn't that bad.
No, it was, ooh, let's see the crazy sex video that she's doing.
No, I'll give her credit. She did, yeah. Like, she reinvented herself time and time again.
She pushed boundaries for really pushed boundaries hard for a certain amount of time, and I think that would be the interest.
Is it fair to say, whether it's like a Lady Gaga or any of what we have today, they aren't there without Madonna?
I would agree. I think that Madonna showed you something that was very important. She won the club scene.
Oh, yeah.
And not just the straight clubs. She won the gay clubs, too. That's what her music was inspiring to so many people. And I think people like Lady Gaga realized, this is the mold. She made it, and I can follow it. Now I'm going to be my own person, and I'm a different kind of cat. But if you do it this way, you can have yourself some success. And I think that is probably our modern-day version of Madonna.
What do we think the net worth for Madonna is?
Oh, I'm going to say $250 million.
I would go higher than that. I would say $500 million, but I was just told in my ear it's $850 million.
Wow.
Dollars. Now, let's go through the body count, because there are all kinds of rumors. Now, some we know. I mean, she's with Warren Beatty. She's married to Sean Penn.
Dennis Rodman.
She was with Tupac.
Lenny Kravitz,
we've known.
David Blaine, Vanilla Ice.
I forgot about the Vanilla Ice year.
Wasn't there a Weird Al thing?
I think that might have been a joke. I don't know. That couldn't have been real, right?
A-Rod.
Oh, there was an A-Rod thing for a minute.
There was an A-Rod sighting.
So remember, yeah. Richie,
so wait a minute, stop for a second. The A-Rod thing, remember, he got asked about that when he was coming into New York as a member of the Rangers, and there was a Jose Canseco thing, too. Like,
married
the same story.
Guy Ritchie, though, right?
She was married to Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
So is there anybody we've left? Like, that is quite the...
Sean Penn in there?
They were married.
Yeah, they were married early.
This one says that she hooked up with JFK Jr.
I'm sure.
Okay, yeah.
Sure. Well, I mean,
New York socialite at the time, yeah.
Do you not think they ran in the same circles? Like, but is that, when you start going through the body count of, like, you just
Warren Beatty, Michael Jackson, we're not even done.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the opposite ends of this spectrum. See, the Michael thing, I don't know if I believe.
Warren, when was Warren Beatty?
She was when he was, she did Dick Tracy with him.
Yeah, she did
co-starred.
She, if you go to, what is the biopic they did at the time? He's in there in her hotel room, and they're just talking over her book that's coming out.
So she did her, why am I forgetting the name of the black and white special she did essentially that ran on HBO, where it was just following her on the tour. It was
Truth or Dare.
Truth or Dare. That was it.
There you go. Yeah.
So he's in the background looking super uncomfortable at the time. But you're going, like I said, Warren Beatty, Tupac, JFK Jr., Vanilla Ice. Is there a more eclectic body count in the world?
Still go back to Sean Penn.
You're consumed with the Sean Penn part of this.
How did he do it? I understand him being an actor. That's how he did it.
That's how he did it.
Yeah, in the 80s, it was Sean Penn.
I don't know if you like, it's like somebody saying, how did the quarterback pull Madonna? How did the A-starring like lead actor, how did he pull Madonna? That's how.
She also hooked up with the guy who played Bob Morales in La Bamba.
That was the brother. That's played Bob.
Esai Morales.
Esai Morales, yeah. Hooked up with him.
That's not Richie.
That's not Richie. No, she did not hook up with, why am I going blank, who played Richie Val? Or maybe she
did. Diamond Phillips.
Maybe she did. I don't know.
She probably did.
Very impressive. Thank you, Madonna. So, yes, she'll be coming to Atlanta as part of the world tour. All right, coming up next, the Falcons are in a great position to fix D's.
These nuts. Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
You know, we don't have to do the D's Nuts jokes every time.
Did somebody say D's Nuts?
I just did. But
nobody said D's Nuts.
No, we did it twice, but we don't have to do the D's Nuts joke every
time. I know we're doing a bit, but this show is really good today.
That's debatable. But again, like, just because the T says the Falcons are in a great position to fix D's.
D's Nuts.
We not every time.
Got him.
Oh, Scotty.
Got him.
Got him. There's got to be a better show on somewhere. We'll talk about D's next.
All right, well, I'm gonna go get some vitamin D's nuts.
Thanks for making Chuck and Chernoff part of your Tuesday afternoon. Let's hope it's a thing that you do every afternoon. Chuck enjoying some downtime. It's been a tough couple of weeks to start the year, so you need a little vacation. Los is in for him. You can hear Carlos each and every morning on our sister station, Extra 106.3.
I'm interested in women.
Awesome. It's good to know, Los. It's awesome.
I am
but not excluding men.
Well, that's what I like. I like the fact you're open to all possibilities.
Versatility.
I like that about you. Boy, this Chip Carey thing continues just to stir people up all over the internet. Twitter is on fire in the last 24 hours about Chip leaving and who's going to replace him. We've even got Bo, our buddy Mark Bowman, earlier today tweeting that Tom Hart and Ben Ingram are among those who could replace Chip Carey. He also writes former Marlins broadcaster Rich Waltz has ties to Summit Bally Sports South execs, but Bally's financial woes could influence the decision. So all kinds of rumors out there, Lois.
That's a factor, Matt. I mean, considering they've tried to, you know, obviously with being for sale and all the financial stuff, that is going to be for the top talent, including those guys. I think that would be a factor.
I've not seen your name brought up once.
No, I'm not being considered for this.
You're too expensive?
No, I'm just not good at play-by-play. Never have been.
Right.
Have you ever done play-by-play?
I have done a very limited amount of play-by-play, and thank God nobody can find the tape or else we would be playing it everywhere. I did some high school basketball, some college basketball back on the old Comcast days when nobody else was available.
You also did Tecmo Bowl when Chuck and Zinna were playing each other.
I was pretty good at Tecmo Bowl play-by-play, wasn't I? I mean, I did that pretty well. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but as I stated earlier, Frank Gore's got all the bag over there. And if he's willing to give up some of the bag, you'll get a bigger name. But unless he's like Frank Gore's making all the money at Bally's, I don't know if he wants to share that with anybody. So that's going to.
There's a pie and he's like tossing crumbs.
Correct.
He's like, listen, you take this and I got this pie.
That's exactly. I mean, he's the star. I mean, he understands how quickly his star is risen over there. So that's going to be a determining factor. Coming up in 5 minutes, Kirby's biggest success in Athens boils down to one simple phrase.
Losing weight will make my peen an inch longer.
Does that fit on a billboard?
I can see my D.
It's an illusion, really.
I mean, it works, though. It does. Lois will tell you that story in 5 minutes about the Kirby thing, not the other thing. But first, for one of the few times in my life, Carlos Medina, the Atlanta Falcons actually have the means to fix what has been the biggest disaster for that franchise during most of its history, and that's the defensive line. I don't care what position you want to focus on. You want to say edge, D-tackle. You want to call them linebackers. You want to call them whatever. The defensive front for the Falcons, for most of my life, with the exception of a couple of years, has been the team where we go, how did they only get 18 sacks? How do they only have 68 sacks in 3 years? Why can't they get to the quarterback? Well, they finally have a combo of means that if they choose to address it, they should be able to. Yet another top 10 pick. They could take 8 overall if they stay where they are, and they could address it by, drafting Miles Murphy from Clemson. They could take 8, combine it with a first-round pick next year, some other stuff, and move up in the draft and make a big run at Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, if that's what they decide. But after the draft, when you look at the money that they have available to them that we have talked about, and I think a pretty intriguing free agent board of defensive front pieces, they have a chance overnight to make this thing at least competitive. Now, the best players never hit free agency. Good players do. Teams who haven't managed their cap well, they're not going to be able to keep everybody. Those are the names we're talking about. Lois, you and I have done this for many years. Sometimes you're going to have age. Sometimes you're going to have injury history. Sometimes you're going to run into the young guy who's just good, not great, and you're going to overpay him. For example, you're watching the 49ers right now, and you see a guy like Samson Ekubom. Nice player. He could come in here and start at defensive end for the Falcons. You're going to overpay him, but that's what free agency is about. Don't laugh at this one. Marcus Davenport's got one of the better pressure rates in the league. He rarely gets home with the sack numbers. But let's be clear, it's the Falcons, and you'll take the pressures as much as you'll take anything because they don't even get the pressure rate here. So that's another one to watch. Then you start getting into guys like Melvin Ingram. Got some age on him, but he can still get to the quarterback. A guy that I've been hot and heavy over in Yannick Ngakoue. Don't expect him to do anything against the run, but he can sure as hell pass. He can rush the passer. Justin Houston's 50 years old, but he still manages to get pressure. Brandon Graham, Morgan Fox, Arden Key, even names like Jadeveon Clowney, and a name the Falcons were interested in a couple of years ago in Robert Quinn. These are all guys that have something where you're like, there's a little too much age, there's a little too much injury, there's a little something there that they're going to be able to bring in either one or two big names or a few of these guys to throw some numbers at this, either on the outside at edge or Lowe's, if you want to go inside with Deron Payne or Javon Hargrave or Sheldon Rankins or Dalvin Tomlinson. You're going to be able to go whichever direction you want and throw a draft pick and potentially 2 or 3 pieces on the defensive line to finally have a chance to get something done on the pass rush.
This is not about 2024, 2025, because that's what your draft picks are about. This is about you're going to have so much money that what you haven't been able to do over the last several years is go out and add, spend a little extra on key veterans for a year. So you brought up a name there, and I've had it circled, is Javon Hargrave. Javon Hargrave is a $13 million a year defensive tackle in this league, but he's not going to get that at 30 years old, except he can get that here
right
on a one-year deal. Here's your $14, $15 million. He gets paid extra. You now have one of the elite interior players for a year, by the way. You then have that cap space right back when your younger guys are now ready to go. That is what you're going to be able to do this upcoming season. And we talk about the importance of winning for this general manager and this coach. Now you at least let them get to fight with both hands rather than having one tied behind their back.
Well, that's the key. You have a fighting chance. If it's Javon Hargrave and Yannick Ngakoue, if it's Deron Payne and Samson Ekubom, whatever, Marcus Davenport and Dalvin Tomlinson, whatever it is, combined with, I keep bringing up a name like Miles Murphy as an example. He could be there at 8 for the Falcons. I just threw 3 pieces at the defensive line. Doesn't mean it's going to solve it, but at least I have a better chance, a fighting chance to do something on the defensive line. I think Lorenzo Carter was a really nice, like pennies on the dollar kind of a free agent that would be really good as a backup here, not having to play as many snaps. I have hopes that Arnold Ebiketie can become a pass rush part of this answer that, you know, you put him with these other pieces and all of a sudden he gets one-on-one opportunities and develops pass rush moves and it works. And oh, by the way, Grady's still in the heart of it. So there's some hope. And I think that's all as a Falcon fan on the defensive line you're looking for. That's some hope.
Well, you're no longer having to play 5th and 6th round picks on your defensive line and say, well, go get me 50, 60 snaps. You can go out and do a 1-year, $5, $6 million deal and say, hey, A'shaun Robinson, come on in. You know, it just makes you better for the year as you're building. And that That, to me, is at least interesting because there's not – the following year, you have some more headline guys that are going to be out there, but the only reason they make it to you is that they're dealing with an ACL or they're dealing with an injury, they're dealing with a little bit of age. This entire group that's upcoming, there are a lot of really solid 27, 28-year-old players. There's just not spectacular guys.
I keep saying the same thing. Be prepared for some sticker shock. I know we haven't been in free agency in this city for a minute. It's going to happen. They're going to sign something, you know, day one of free agency where you go, oh, my God, that's too much. No, that's free agency. You're going to overpay. That's typically how it's done. Coming up in 5 minutes, Georgia fans have been asked the same question for four decades.
Can cows get gonorrhea?
I don't recall that being asked to Georgia. Can they?
Can't see why not.
No, that's not the question. Georgia fans have been asked this question for four decades. But I'll ask it again today, hoping for a different answer. We'll get to it after we talk about Kirby's biggest success in Athens. It comes down to one simple phrase. What is that phrase?
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Adapt or die.
Adapt or die.
Now, I love the movie Moneyball. Whenever it's on, I get sucked in, like, immediately.
Tremendous movie.
And I wait for that fictional scene with Grady Fuson, the lead scout, and Billy Beane, and basically saying, this is the new direction of the Oakland A's. He flat out says, adapt or die.
Adapt or die.
There you go. And you think about what's going on in NCAA. You think about the NIL deals, the transfer portal, the on-field rules changing, recruiting changing, bowl games, the college football playoff expansion, athlete empowerment. You know, all these things are now a huge factor. Realignment. You know, we have people moving all over the place. You now are in a situation where if you really liked how the rules were 4 years ago, you either adapt or you die. Because what worked 4 years ago will no longer work in 2022, 2023. And I think the greatest thing that Kirby Smart has been able to do is to quickly adapt to the times. And maybe that's the good part about youth. When you're 45, 46 years old, you quickly see what's happening. You're pretty plugged in with the kids. You make the changes, and you're a two-time national champion. While your other people, your peers around you, Alabama, they're Alabama, but they have taken a bit of a step back. That is just kind of what it looks like when you lose two games and that's where they are. That's where they are. Clemson, I think, is recruiting well enough to bounce back, but they're not Clemson of 3-4 years ago. And so you look at around the rest of college football, you know, maybe it's Ryan Day, maybe it's Kirby Smart. These are the guys that have adapted. And so everything right now and moving forward is no matter what gets thrown at you, whatever the new thing is going to be, maybe it's going to be a 15-game regular season, whatever it's going to be, because you're going to have to play more games in order to win a national championship. When this thing expands to I got to win 17, 18 games, whatever it comes to, you either adapt or you die. And I think that's where Kirby Smart gives Georgia a really clear advantage right now.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, there was a point 3 years ago that we might not have been having this like same discussion. There was a part of me that wondered if Kirby was willing to adapt to the style of college football offenses.
Adapt or die.
That were being run. And before Todd Monken, wait, you remember the calls you and I would have about this? And I was worried that, is he willing to give up his way, his control, his style of offense? And he did. That was an adaptive moment that showed you, to Los's point, that can happen.
Here's the irony of it, though. He's let Monken do that. He still, I think, thinks the exact same way.
But that's a huge deal. Because it's the Nick Saban complaining about how fast the game was moving, remember? And then it's like, okay, we'll do it too. Like, I might not agree with it or like it. I don't think Saban likes that style. I don't think Kirby loves it, but he's like, okay, this is what it is. Let me let this guy come in and do it.
When we keep hearing rumors about Monken maybe going somewhere else, Tampa, what, I don't think it's that we can't find somebody that can run that offense. It's, can we find somebody that Kirby trusts to run that offense?
But to Los's point also, with the changes in the game, both on and off the field, having a 47-year-old, I think that matters. Now, Kirby's got some old school thought to him, but he's still 47 and willing to be open to this stuff. Like, there's a lot, Los, I bet, of Kirby. It's like, I hate NIL. I hate transfer portal. But you better sure as hell publicly embrace it or else you're going to be stuck in the mud.
He told Matt Luke, and made the point about it when he left as the offensive lines coach. He said, you're going to lose really good coaches because they don't want to make the changes to this stuff, and they're going to want to do other things. And I believe that. Kirby Smart has basically made it a point. If you're going to be coaching here, you got to adapt, and we got to change how we do stuff, and that's how it's going to be. And fortunately, for the last 2 years, they've ended up on top.
Seems like it's working. Seems like they figured it out.
Adapt or die, Matt.
I've heard that before. That's
adapt or die.
Wonderful movie too. Even the role of Art Howe, very well done.
I do love it,
Philip Seymour Hoffman. So Los, I grew up here. I went to my first Georgia basketball game probably in the mid '80s. One of my favorite basketball teams was a 1990 SEC champion Georgia team that had Alec Kessler and Jody Patton and Laterell Green. It was just fun. But we've all asked the same question for the past four decades. Why can't Georgia basketball become a thing, a consistent thing? I don't mean on the court. I mean from, like, an interest standpoint. I don't know the answer to it. I've heard a million different answers. I know there's some interest right now for what Mike White's doing. Like, I guess they sold out Saturday against Vandy. So there is a base of Georgia basketball fans that are there. But we know how big the base of Georgia sports fans there are when you see how many people traveled for the national championship game this year, to watch how many people traveled in 2017, or to watch how many people are invested, either who went to that school or just fans of that school. Yet we can't seem to see that base being built, and it's been the same way for four decades. And there have been blips where Tubby had it rolling for a minute and everybody kind of jumped on. And there was some Herrick stuff for a minute, but not consistently. So, Los, I will ask you, and I'll bring Hoyt into this because I'm fascinated to come up with the answer. Will it take a Bruce Pearl type of extended run like he's putting together at Auburn, or a absurd Billy Donovan run who all he did was win back-to-back championships at Florida? I'm not talking about selling out the building. I'm talking about building a consistent base where I can come on this radio show and say, we're going to talk Georgia basketball three times this week, and I'm going to have a big base of listeners who dig into it. How does that happen?
You've hit the nail on the head. You do need to have that Bruce Pearl situation where it's not just about, hey, we won or we filled the building. You've got to do both. But then you have to get the fan base, and specifically the football fan base, that then starts to put a toe in the water but make it a point. I am taking pride in what this team does, because largely what happens with Georgia right now, football season's over, the football fans kind of mosey on over to another corner, and they may peek over at the basketball team every now and then. It's different at Auburn. Auburn, either football fans right now, are highly invested in what goes on the basketball court.
Wait, let me ask you this. Next 5 years, and this is this would be the perfect scenario. Next 5 years, Mike White takes Georgia to three Sweet 16s and an Elite Eight. What's it look like in 2025?
Yeah, it changes at that point. But how do you do that? How do you do that at Georgia? And I know
I don't know what happened at Tennessee right now, and it's happened at Tennessee before, and it's happened at Florida before, in Auburn. This sounds like the same discussion we were having in football when LSU was winning multiple titles.
They've been to one Final Four.
I know, but explain that to me with the base of talent in this state. It makes no sense. Now, again, Hugh Durham was a different sort of era. It was a different time. They were at least making NCAA tournaments semi-consistently. That's the start of this.
I had the number one pick, 3 years removed? And you couldn't get anybody from Atlanta to go up to Athens on a regular basis. So I don't know how you do. I truly don't know.
What if you would have parlayed that? That becomes an Elite Eight year. You build that base of recruiting, and all of a sudden you follow it up. Like, what's the best five-year run of Georgia basketball? Do that one for me, and then maybe there's your answer.
Was Herrick 5 years?
I don't know if it was five on the level years.
I'm okay with
it. I know you're okay with it. But there were 2 years where it was like Jarvis and Jonas and was Rashad Wright. Like with that team where it was like, oh my God, that's a really, I don't know if it was five, but there was, Tubby was close to that. Had Tubby stayed, and I don't blame him, it's Kentucky. I often wonder if Tubby would have stayed and you didn't dip to Ron Jersa, what that would have looked like.
99 to 2003 was Jim Herrick, by the way. And I've asked this to Ben Ingram, and we've all done it. It's hilarious. When you ask him about Ole Miss football and cheating and was it worth it, he's like, hell yeah, it was. Beat Alabama twice. It's the same thing. If whatever you got to do is what you got to do. I know we got to finish up this segment. Can I bring up something a little bit off topic, but
please,
sort of on topic?
Yes.
Have either one of you guys watched Hustle yet on Netflix?
I have not.
Okay, definitely worth it. It's Adam Sandler, and it's a serious role where he's.
Oh no, the basketball movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I watched it. It was the Queen Latifah plays his wife. The least amount of chemistry I've ever seen.
Hold on, though. Who's the bad guy in it? Anthony Edwards.
He, that's right. I forgot.
Ant-Man. It is so much fun to watch him be the bad guy. And again, that's how you – I just think you can start building a program if you have that kind of talent coming through.
I forgot. I did watch Hustle with a – I feel like that's like tongue-in-cheek, that movie, because it's trying to be serious. And for those who haven't seen it, Sandler plays a scout, I think, for the Philadelphia 76ers. And it shows this like rough lifestyle of him trying to find his next great player and hang on and do this thing. But you're right, Anthony Edwards is in the middle of that.
93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
93% audience score.
Have you ever seen less chemistry between a supposed married couple and Sandler and Latifah?
It never hit me. You know what it was? It was the chemistry between him and his player that he wants. That's all
Bo
I cared about.
Cruz.
There you go. But again, Ant-Man is fun in that. If you want to watch your guy from Georgia, Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, do some cool stuff, watch that movie.
All right, coming up next, the Falcons may get another shot at the 2021 draft. And front office Los isn't too sure it's the best thing for the future. He'll paint the picture for you next. Yeah, yeah. I just had another realization, and it's tough to admit this, but... I'm a really bad parent. Not good at it. I'll tell you why in a minute. Chuck and Chernoff. Chuck is out. Los is in. Los, I realized, again, I just had somebody text me and ask what size shirt my youngest wears, and I was like, I don't know. I have to text my wife.
I don't know
what size my kids wear. I went to an event for my son this morning at school. It was donuts with dads. I didn't know what homeroom he's in. Like, I'm pretty useless. I mean, top to bottom, if I don't have a lifeline, which in this case is to text my wife, I don't know anything.
Middle school has been a lot easier because I can just show up and say, hey, I'm looking for my daughter. She's in sixth grade, and they go find where she's at. Homeroom for elementary school, that was always kind of shaky for me, too.
How many dads do you think can name right now their kid's teacher without having to text their wife to get the answer? Like that, what, you know your kid's teachers?
Miss Niemeyer, it's one.
Oh, you're better than me.
I know Miss Arnold, but I don't know any of them from middle school.
Ah, man. I'm wanting you guys to make me feel better, and I'm just, it's not helping.
Well, this is the cat's in the cradle moment. This is why this thing's going to play out the way it's going
to
play out.
Yeah. If it makes you feel better, you've set the bar really low for me to parent my child.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. But see, here's the difference in me and everybody else, I admit it. Like, you know, I'm not...
Okay, you're not playing, like, TV dad.
No, there's no fathers, no...
No, you're just a
best.
Bad parent.
I'm just not good at it. Like, I'm...
Like, you know your kid. Like, he knows Jeff's dad down the street, and
right.
Jeff's dad's there for everything.
Sure.
And he plays basketball with them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
He hugs his
stuff.
Kids.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, I'll see you when I see you.
No, I mean, it's not... I wish it wasn't that way. I need to be better at this.
I mean, you actually... came up with a company that helps get you out of town.
Oh, that's true. The whole goal is to get me away from the kids.
Right.
Thank you, Los. Thank you for...
You already missed your kid's first home run.
That did happen. I was on the air doing a show when my youngest hit his first home run.
You were talking to Chuck while your kid hit his first home run.
But what are you going to do? It's that work-life balance. Like, you know, real successful people like Kirby Smart, myself, and we understand you can't be there for
everything. I mean, Hoyt quit.
He did quit, but he also has a rich wife and a rich, you know, set of in-laws, so he can just walk away whenever he wants. You know, I'm the breadwinner. Without me, there's no bread. Anyway, reminder, the Throwdown is back. The biggest weekend of the NFL playoffs sees the return of the biggest party in Atlanta. And you can join the entire fan staff this Sunday, the 29th, at Patrick's and Vinings.
What?
Well, I'm trying to get through it, yeah. For our 22nd annual AFC-NFC Throwdown. We're going to kick the day off with a live broadcast of Atlanta's official NFL pregame show. I started that show many years ago. I remember that. From 10 to 1, followed by NFL game day from 1 to 3. And when the conference title games kick off, the fan staff will be sticking around to watch all the action at Patrick's.
Man, I don't have time to go to stuff like that.
You better make time, Buck, to see who punches their ticket to Arizona for the big game. Don't miss the Throwdown Sunday, the 29th. That's this Sunday at Patrick's and Vinings with Atlanta's 30-year home for sports, the fan.
Man that knows the cap, bonuses and all of that. He's the one that gets you cut. Front office, so don't give a word. He's the guy who knows the law. Can't put him against the wall. He's the guy with all the answers. Matt and Chuck are backup dancers. Front office knows it all.
All brought to you by Entry Point Doors and Windows. Maybe you are a bad parent like Matt. Well, you know how you bounce back? Get your family new windows or a new entryway. Entry Point Doors and Windows can handle big projects like that for you. Been doing it for over 20 years. Window and Door Magazine's Dealer of the Year. EntryPointAtlanta.com right there in the right corner. Sign up for that free estimate. Matt, I want to bring you back to the year 2019 in the NFL, because that's not that long ago. It's 2019. And when you take a look at who the starting quarterbacks were, well, Lamar Jackson was the league MVP. He was number one. You had guys like, oh, Russell Wilson, who was in Seattle. You had Drew Brees, who was in New Orleans. You had Deshaun Watson, who was in Houston. You had Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. And we're thinking about that movement. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. We have had unprecedented movement in the NFL market when it comes to quarterbacks. We have never seen a stretch where so many teams have moved so many quarterbacks. Part of it is contracts. Part of it is we got to reset our franchise. We got to move on. Matthew Stafford, who played a decade in Detroit. Hey, you know what? Got to go to L.A. Guess what? We'll even take Cook. We're not really sure if we even like him there. We'll bring him back here. Carson Wentz was in Philadelphia. Former league MVP candidate. Well, you got to go as well. Matt Ryan played here for forever. He ain't here anymore. And so I bring that up to talk to you about what happened in the 2018 NFL draft, where the top of the draft featured Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley, and Sam Darnold. Well, Darnold's already on to another team. He's in Carolina. We'll see what happens moving forward. But also somebody else. 10th overall was a player that I liked and is a former Atlanta Falcon great, Josh Rosen, who had a cup of coffee here. Yeah. So, but the key factor here is that it took 1 year where the Arizona Cardinals looked at him and they said, okay, we see some stuff here, but the next draft has a guy who looks like he may be a, well, he's not traditional, but he might be a transformational quarterback in Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray has been a guy that when he's healthy, he's a league MVP candidate. They move Rosen for a second round pick. When I tell you you might have a chance at the 2021 draft again, remember, that is a draft where you took Kyle Pitts 4th overall, and Kyle Pitts is a freak, and he's going to put up crazy numbers, but you still don't have a quarterback here. We had heard through the grapevine that it was entirely going to be Trey Lance or Kyle Pitts, that that's who they were focused on, and it was going to be one or the other. Let's start off with Trey Lance, because, Matt, I think this is very much in line with what happened with Stetson Bennett. When Georgia decided, and mostly their defense decided, that is our guy, that was their guy. They were never going to go back to JT Daniels. It was Stetson's team. Mm-hmm. I think a portion of that has happened with Brock Purdy and how they're playing and what they're doing offensively and the energy he has and what they've been able to do. I think it makes it very easy for them to move away from Garoppolo. I think they're going to be looking at it in the offseason going, is it possible that we're having to trade Trey Lance because our offense, when we gave the ball to this young man, jumped by about 12 points per game. We're suddenly in the mid-30s, and we have a chance at a Super Bowl.
I wonder, because I brought this one up too, and all these like machinations to get a quarterback. What's that value now for Trey? Because he's off an injury. He's played, what, 2 games? If you go back to North Dakota State, he played into week 2 this year for the Niners. Like, oh, are we talking, you give me a 3rd-round pick, or you give me, you know, 2 middle-rounders, and I like take them off your hands?
I will give you the example of what Rosen went for. Rosen went straight up for a 2nd-rounder. And now that may have been, obviously, that might have been too much.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so if you're talking about realizing it isn't working over here with this person, maybe we can land them. Maybe it's a 3rd and a 4th. Maybe it's a 3rd and a 5th. It's just another option. By the way, another one to watch, and we bring up that 2018 draft, it's because Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears, they hold the number 1 overall pick, and I firmly believe they're going to take probably a Jalen Carter right at the top. But if they make the decision as a group, hey, these quarterbacks are better than what we got, suddenly Fields is available and probably for a 2nd-round pick. So just understand, you have the veteran options going to be out there, but you might have a chance to redo the 2021 NFL draft around here. Right. And that's front office Lowe's.
Thank you, Lowe's. Appreciate it. All right, coming up next, this might be the perfect example for Ravens. Be careful what you wish for. Plus, the clock is ticking on the Falcons to make a really important decision. We'll tell you what it is next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number 1 in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.